We had so much content. Our first hour went 68 minutes apparently. So we've got a second hour here. Just checking in under 60 minutes for you. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci. We'll shoot for 70. Why not? Let's just keep going. Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford. And we started off the show talking about Brandon Weeden and the fact that he is still the starting quarterback, the fact that he did some good things in the first half of that game, did not do so many good things in the second half. And we heard from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Rob Chudzinski, talking about what gives him confidence in Brandon Weeden, how he can put Weeden in the best position to succeed. But then there are some other questions he was asked that are very, very interesting to me. Based on some of the discussions we had yesterday, you know, has Brandon Weeden lost the locker room? And apparently we weren't the only people thinking that that might be a possibility, even if remote, because he was asked straight up, did you need to talk to your team captains to see if they still have faith in the quarterback, Brandon Weeden?
Not to ask that specific question, you know, because it's apparent to me without even needing to ask that's there. And so, you know, I don't see any issue with that. This team has rallied behind Brandon and Will. Again, you know, we've talked about he's played well at times, and he's embraced the coaching and you know, is working hard with Norvin. He's doing everything that he can to improve, and you know, and I expect that to happen, and you know, expect him to play well.
The story behind that particular topic isn't whether or not Rob Chudzinski went to DeQuell Jackson or Joe Thomas or any of his other Quinton Groves, any of his captains, and said, hey, do you still have confidence in Brandon Weeden? Because that is not a question a head coach should ever ask any player, especially his captain. He's not going to pose it that way.
Correct.
The story is that someone thought that was a question the head coach should answer. Hey, did you go down there and ask those guys if they're still confident in the guy? That's one of those are you kidding me deals, because the head coach is not going to do that. He sets the tone. He doesn't go in there and say, hey guys, just want to be sure, are you confident? Because he's put himself in any, there's so many things wrong with that, not the least of which was if he feels that insecure as a head coach that he's got to get reinforcement or find out from the player level where their confidence level is and has to pose it in the form of a specific question, then it's over. Then you might as well just hang it up. And Rob is a better coach than that, and I think a stronger guy than that, and I think his leadership is very strong. I think he's doing a really good job of keeping this team on the rails. And part of how you do that is how you, as a coach, demonstrate your level of confidence. The players will take their cue from the coach. Players
Correct.
Are conditioned from the time they, whenever they first put on a helmet, to follow the man who's coaching them. Players play, coaches coach. And coaches decide, as Rob Chudzinski also reinforced today, coaches decide who plays quarterback.
Coach certainly does decide that, and it will be Brandon Weeden. So I thought that was very, very an interesting question. And the other thing we talked about that was maybe not a pleasant topic, at least for us to discuss, but came really from quotes from players from this team, was talking about the lack of energy in the second half, the fact that the Lions wanted it more. And Chud was asked if he sensed a lack of energy from the team coming out of halftime.
The thing that you know, I feel strongly about is our guys. It's not a matter of emotions or energy coming out the second half, because that's there. It's a matter of being able to jump back into the game at the same speed that you left it. And so, you know, we've been stressing that with our players, as well as just some things procedurally, being able to you know, get them going again physically as well, so that we're going to do, and some organizational things, and making sure that they're clear on what we need to happen in the second half as well.
You know, I think so much of this, too, is perception versus reality. The perception, and we heard Jordan Cameron talk about this. We heard Willis McGahee talk about this. The feeling among players was that they didn't see a lot of energy within the play of the players around them and maybe even in themselves. But I think that can also be a reflection of, as the head coach put it, maybe not jumping back into things with that sense of quickness and urgency and executing the way you want to execute, which is at a faster pace or a higher tempo. And if you're not doing that, does it seem less energetic? Does it seem more forced? Does it seem too methodical? And I think these are some of the things that I hate to keep going back to this, but I think it's valid, Nathan, is that what we talk about with a younger football team, with players on a team that don't always quite get what the situation calls for. And I think there some of the reason why you're a team that hasn't been able to sustain second half, first half success in the second half in three of the six games is because you're not used to dealing with just success as much as maybe you're not even used to dealing with failure, although there's been more of that with this team, but not necessarily all of the guys involved with this team having done that for a long enough time to say, yeah, this is how it is. Unfortunately, there are some players who know what – when you hear Joe Haden talk about this is a different Browns team, he's too often been part of the bad Browns, the struggling Browns, the ones that maybe when sure. things go bad, expect the worst.
Sure, and you know what? All of this is a learning experience for this team. I think that, you know, we are all optimistic and hopeful, and I still think it is very possible and very likely that this team is going to play meaningful games in December. But this is a learning experience for a young team to find out how to win, to find out how to be professionals, to find out what it takes to actually succeed over the course of a four-month, grueling, 16-game National Football League season. And I think we've seen some lows, we've seen some highs already in just the first six games. All of these things can be valuable tools for this team as it prepares to get to its ultimate goal of sustained winning and success year after year after year after year. So I think that there are good lessons to be learned here, and I would imagine, given some of the comments and given some of the resolve and the veteran leadership on this team, you're going to see the Browns learn from what happened against the Detroit Lions. Physically, talent-wise, you know, just because you do everything the right way doesn't mean you're going to win every week, but I think this team is learning very much so how to do things the right way over the course of a full season, and that will be very valuable when everything else can come into place so that you can actually take those next steps.
To that point, Rob Chudzinski was asked about just the overall team. Does he see progress?
But as I look at our team, you know, I think that we've made a lot of progress and come a long way, and, you know, you look back starting in April and, you know, the things that we've done and incorporated and the guys and, you know, their attitudes. We have coaches that love coaching. We've got players that take to coaching and love getting coached. And I think we're improving and, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs still.
Yeah, there's the measurement of what's going on here goes beyond six games. The measurement truly for the way the coaches look at it, for the way it is viewed internally, takes you back to the offseason, because all of that stuff that you put time in does matter in terms of building what you're trying to build. And they have seen, and I've seen some of it with my own eyes. I'm not studying it the way coaches do, because that's not what I do, but that is their full life. They're what they're consumed with 24/7 pretty much is, you know, seeing how guys learn something that was introduced to them back in spring workouts, whatever, and then all the way through the summer through training camp and so forth, and where they are now. And that is what Rob Chudzinski's talking about, and that's significant, because yeah. if you can chart that line and that progress and back it up by showing on tape various things that have been that you can look at a tape in off-season workouts to what you could see on the field now or in practice and so forth, I think there truly is an upward movement. All this developing and learning we talk about goes with it. Now, all of that said, if you don't see the results consistently enough on the field, if you see more halves, we beat this to death yesterday, but if you see another half like yesterday, and I'm sitting here saying I can't imagine that another half like that for this football team through the rest of the year. I'm calling out this team to not have another half like that. Can they have bad moments? Yeah, those can happen. But I'm talking about just the bottom falling out. And to some people, the floor, everything caved and swallowed up Brandon Whedon, and people don't want to hear any more discussion about it. But I maintain there's something to be said for, and I'm willing to shift out of this if we see a repeat of this, especially in the first half. But that first half that he played and that this team played against Detroit was legit. Was a quality half of football.
Yes.
You couldn't really ask for much more than that. And the coaches, by the way, they were using everything. I mean, you go back and look at some of the plays, the formations, the changeup. They were doing it all. And Norv Turner, I think, I know he's got more left in the book and more tricks in the sack. But he used a lot in that.
Absolutely. And that's what, listen, sometimes, you know, that's what has to be done. We saw it. It jump-started this team with the special team, the fake field goal, the fake punt against the Minnesota Vikings. Sometimes that's what you got to do, and that's what the Cleveland Browns certainly are trying to do, and we got to see. And hopefully this coaching staff can keep being creative like that, and the players can keep playing like they did in the first half. And, you know, Vic, you brought up a great point about how players follow the coach's lead, especially who is the quarterback. Well, we heard from three players, and we'll get into them right now. Willis McGahee talking about Brandon Whedon as the quarterback of this team.
We're not worried about Brandon or whatever happened during that game. You know, we all lost as a team. He didn't lose a game for us. There was certain aspects of the games that we all could have did better at. It's just the fact that everybody was pointing out that interception he threw, but that's part of the game, actually. And we got his back, so no worries over here.
It's significant.
Yes, very significant.
31-year-old guy, 11-year pro.
Just joined the team.
Has respect in that locker room, though. He joined the team, yeah. But, I mean, he's known. He came in as a
name, sure.
As a recognizable guy. And I think to the younger, more impressionable teammates, if he's saying that to us, to the media, to the public, you believe he's reinforcing that with his teammates.
Absolutely.
In stronger ways, perhaps.
Yeah, and you also hear from Joe Thomas, who's been here and been as good as there's been on the Cleveland Browns team, talking about Whedon.
It's going great. I mean, when you watch the film, obviously he wishes he had a couple throws back that turned into interceptions. And in the end, that's what you get judged on in this league. It's those one or two plays. But you look at the whole body of work from last week's game, and there's a lot of things to be really proud of. So nobody in the locker room is discouraged, and I think definitely everybody's behind him. And if he just makes a couple more plays in that game, you know, I think we win. And he's the hero, so...
Yeah, and that's from a veteran, a seventh-year pro, a respected player. He's a captain. Those are one of the aforementioned captains. I'm still flabbergasted at the thought that you're going to think that the head coach is not only going to ask the question, but you're going to get an answer other than supportive one. I mean, that would you don't need to if you're at that point where everyone on the team or players have given up and on the guy. The question doesn't even have to be asked. And I've been around those situations. I've covered, I'm talking not Browns related, but I've and I know it's happened here, but going back to earlier days of covering the NFL, especially during the seasons, almost 18 of them of covering the Buffalo Bills, where I saw a series of bad quarterbacks and lost confidence before they got a guy named Jim Kelly, and then he ended up in the Hall of Fame. We're going to have a conversation with Jameer Howerton sitting down with DeQuell Jackson, speaking of leaders and captains. D-Jack sits down with Jameer Howerton. That is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty for the Football Wednesday edition. As you listen with us, and we appreciate you being with us on ESPN 850 WKNR.